Welcome to National Living Alliance's weekly call. Today is September 16th, 2024. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. If you are listening over Rumble or YouTube or another network and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on our weekly call for instructions to join us by phone, app, or browser. If anyone would like to email a question, you can send your questions to questions, that's plural, questions at nationallibertyalliance.org. Also, please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right-hand side of our website, in which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on our donation tab, top right side of our website. Okay, we're going to start off with our scripture reading. We're going to go into, the Gospel according to John. We're going to read chapter 1 in the Gospel according to John. Hang on a minute. And it's read by Alexander Scorby.
The Gospel according to St. John, chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him, and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake, He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, Who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, What then? Art thou Elias? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, No. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him, and said unto him, Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you, whom ye know not. He it is, who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he, of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same as he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw, and bear record, that this is the Son of God. Again the next day after, John stood, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned, and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messias, which is, being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith of him, Behold an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man.
I think that one finished, John. He must have thought that he had a little more time. Sorry. He'll be back in just a second.
Well, I'm sorry.
How are you doing tonight?
I had my mute on. Anyway, do we have any questions or any announcements for tonight? Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes, I can hear you, but I couldn't get to unmute my mic.
Okay. Well, I was the same way.
And I forgot to review the questions. There's three questions here from the questions at nationallibertyalliance.org.
And don't forget to go into Q&A, John.
Okay.
We have been trying to reclassify, declare our property as private, as John suggests. Ultimately, we would like to procure a land patent, but John claimed it is not entirely necessary. We have been dealing with the county real estate office and have had back and forth contention, for lack of a better word. We have dealt with things from ignorance to lack of response to the real estate attorney trying to intimidate, and any responses we received were not relevant to our cause. Whether failure or success, we want to create an evidentiary record and keep you informed. I know that there are those that have their property privatized and unencumbered out there. Any help, either from NLA or its listeners, appreciated. The subject should become a workshop matter for NLA someday because of its frequent expounding. So that turned out not to have a question, but they are looking for help.
All right. Well, I do see in the Q&A. All right. I do see a question in the sense that they're looking to see how, or, you know, that we had spoken about making your property private and opposed to going and getting involved with a lot of paperwork, which I guess people can go through, but there hasn't been much success in that. You know, trying to get success with anything in this with this government of ours, or shall I say these terrorists, I think terrorists is a good word, or tyrants, that have seized control of our government at every level in all three branches and the same in all 50 states. I mean, it's near impossible. It's like trying to get justice in our courts, which you're not going to get that either. We've been battling this for quite some time. Many people have been battling this. We have defined the problem very clearly, and we have taken some action trying to bring things back. We do know that devolution is in play, and that's the only thing that's really going to set the stage to reset America, and that will happen by the time we get into next year. It could happen right after the election, could happen possibly before the election. It could happen just before the end of the year. But I do believe the worst case scenario, it will happen by, it will start to happen by at least sometime in January. I believe it's January 20th. I don't know what the date is this year. It's always 20th when the president takes office. I think it's always the 20th.
Yes, it's 20th of January, yes.
Okay, so it will start to affect at that point at worst-case scenario. Of course, we don't know what these people are going to do. They're rats stuck in a corner, and they don't know what to do anymore. They've got all these terrorists that have come from all different kinds of nations around the world, wackos, people with psychological problems, people who are indeed terrorists. There's going to be havoc in the streets, no different than what we were watching over in Europe and many, many countries over on the other side of the pond. We're no different. We've got a lot of illegals here. Goodness, who knows how many. I've heard as many as 50 million, or 15 million. But it is in the multi-millions. There's no doubt about that. That, of course, is their new base. To try to get votes, also a different mindset. They have to spoil the mindset of America, and that's what this woke stuff is all about and all these other things. So the point I'm really trying to get to is that to think we're going to get justice anytime soon is not going to happen. I wouldn't worry too much about properties because property tax is unlawful. If you have to pay a tax on your property on a yearly basis and don't pay it, it's taken away from you, then clearly you don't own your property. If you have to pay tax, income tax, every year, and you can potentially, they'll come and take it from you if you don't give it to them, or they'll put you in jail, well, clearly we're slaves then. And again, that's unconstitutional, it's unlawful, direct tax is unlawful. Clearly, we know what that means. If you go before the Supreme Court and talk with these people, you're not going to get beyond. The United States Supreme Court will not hear any IRS case at all. They will not hear it. And they make that clear. And you're not going to get justice on the appellate process going up line or anything because the fix is in. We have a real serious problem. The only answer is the military. There is no other way. The other problem we have is people are not capable of having government by consent. They don't know how to have government by consent. They're not educated well enough to have government by consent. They don't have a clue to have government by consent. There was someone just recently speaking who I've had a lot of respect for. It just in my mind, I remember that, you know, I knew the person was really on our side. But as they were speaking, they were talking about how we would have government, the importance of our government by consent, and he put the whole thing in, and I don't remember the person's name, I don't remember who it was, and this is recent, but he put the whole thing in on, well, that's government by consent, as if there's nothing else we can do. Our founding fathers left us hopeless and helpless. Of course, nothing could be further from the truth. And, of course, that's our purpose here at National Liberty Alliance, is to teach government by consent. But, by the way, I did post a new video up on our front page called, National Liberty Alliance Presents Government by Consent. And it's about an hour long, 62 minutes or something like that. And it does lay out exactly what we are doing and how we are teaching people, or what we're teaching people, at least sort of in a nutshell, how to have government by consent, what is the processes. And we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight by a paper that we're filing. Now, we've been filing papers in the courts since 2015, and we filed a writ quo warranto twice and on the United States Supreme Court. And I do believe, I don't know that they refused to hear it, but nevertheless, we did put it at their doorstep. It was received by the doorkeepers, and they sent them back in both cases. But that's okay. The bottom line, we served them. And they can hide. They can do whatever they want. They're still going to be held liable when the time comes. So no matter what they do, they can't escape it, because justice is coming. I believe that very sincerely and completely in my heart. I'm absolutely convinced. I very carefully listen to what people have to say. I look for potential contradictions or consistency. And when you see consistency constantly, you know you're finding truth. For truth is self-evident. That's a biblical principle. It also is the foundation of our law and the Declaration of Independence, that truth is self-evident. So it just takes time, listen long enough, and you'll either see that it is true or it's not true, as long as you're honest to yourself. But the military has picked up our paperwork, our quo warranto. S.G. Anon had shared this on his videos that he puts out, and he's interviewed us once. And the next paper, which we've been thinking we're going to be serving soon, we're not sure exactly when, but I think we are sure now. I believe we're going to probably serve this paper we're going to talk about tonight right now I got it dated for September 20th, which is Friday, which means we'll be filing it on Friday. But we may wait another week, at most another week or two. Maybe we'll wait till the beginning of October. But we are about ready to serve it. I've finished writing the paper. It's ready to go. It's a couple of hundred pages long, and so we're not going to read all of it. We did anticipate reading it. I've been unable to get online for the past couple of weeks. At least it seems that Monday night at this time, I've been unable to get into this room 2 weeks in a row. So I don't know if that's by design or I'm just a little paranoid about that kind of thing, which usually I'm not, but I don't know. In any event, I am on tonight. We are bringing some information. We were going to read this paper. Let me open it up. Let me put this back up. Let's see. We're going to read this paper, Secretary Presentment to the United States Supreme Court. Is someone talking?
I don't think so.
Is that an open mic? All right. Anyway, it's way too long to share, but we did start going through this last week. Let me see. I don't know why it's saying that it's only 28 pages. Something is wrong here. It must be. All right, I'll have to share a two word maybe. Okay, well, anyway, we'll get into that shortly. And what we're going to do is we're going to just go through a few pages on that. I really want to go through the crux of the matter, exactly what we're looking for the United States Supreme Court to do. And if they don't do it, then they're as guilty as the rest of the federal judiciary. This is kind of an indictment. It definitely is a restoring of our representatives within the courts. They have to all go. Every judge on the federal level, as far as I'm concerned, and I'm going to push as hard as I can to make that the point, we do put that in the point in the paper, they have all got to go. They've destroyed this country. They've destroyed everything that we are as a people. They've destroyed and taken our courts of law away, and they brought in their their courts of destruction is what they've brought in, and every court in America going all the way down into the town courts. We've got the state courts have followed suit with the civil law. Civil law is where you know men make law for men, and our nation was not set up that way. We're one nation under God, and we're under God's law, and it's very clear that we're under God's law. But we've lost our way. People have become complacent and ignorant. They are kind of excited now these days, want to make changes. They're starting to feel it. Prices are kind of just through the roof. It's insane. It's almost impossible to live. You know, I remember not long ago, if someone was making $20-25 an hour, they were doing pretty good. That's nothing. You can't survive on $20-25 an hour. That's how, I'm preaching to the choir. I know everybody knows this. But everything has gone crazy. I know my electric bill has literally doubled in the last couple of years, doubled. Every bill I have has just gone through the roof, and it's very difficult to survive. But this is what they created for us, and this is what they're destroying us with economically with these things. But this is also the very same thing that maybe waking enough people up to save this republic. And it's up to the people to save this republic. If people are not going to step up and do what has to be done, then you deserve, we all deserve this then. Then we deserve what we get. And we'll continue to be slaves, and our children will be slaves, and that'll be the end of the matter. But hopefully we will get enough people. We only need about 300,000 people nationwide to take this nation back 100%. And that's a high number. We don't even need that many people. We're talking about building committees of safety, let's say, with a minimum of 20 people. Now, 20 people would require a lot of work, or it'll take a long time to bring things back to place. But when you get 50 or 60 or 100 people in a committee of safety, you can really get some production done. You can really start taking your schools back very quickly. We can bring our sheriffs back under the law and require that they learn the law and they start to protect the unalienable rights of the people instead of serving as water boys for the other police departments, because that's where it's at. And it's difficult to wake these sheriffs up as much as it is difficult to wake the people up. Hopefully all the people coming to these meetings we're having are woken up or being woken up and realize that we need to do something. And we cannot depend on Trump or the military to do all of the work for us. Yeah, they'll do the heavy lifting. Trump says he wasn't elected to take power, but to give power back to the people where it belongs. So the question is, are you going to receive it? And if you refuse an education, you can't receive it. You cannot have it. If we don't teach our children a proper education, they can't maintain it. And you know, if we don't know the law, we don't know. Our heritage is in the law, and our inheritance is liberty. And if you don't know the law, you can't understand your heritage, nor can you control these people that we have elected to put in place with certain authorities. We have vested them with certain powers. And if we don't understand the limitation of those powers and step up and exercise our right of government by consent, by preventing them from taking more power than what we've given them, because we can do that if people are willing to do that, if we're not going to do those things, then we're not going to have liberty, we will not be a free nation, and we don't deserve it. It's that simple. So anyway, I know I'm long-winded and kind of went off track, but not really, because the question was really about trying to take back control of their own property and not to be continued to be paying taxes, which is a slave tax, or they lose their property. But I wouldn't worry too much about it right now, because next year is going to be different. And we will have a republic again, if you can keep it. Next question.
John, I remember, just as a side note, that Robert Overhill was working on this very thing, and he had managed to go back and find a Latin patent, and he traced the ownership of the land through that land patent. The trouble is that you can present all this evidence, and the court will still tell you, no, that's not, we're not going to believe that. So I think I just wanted to mention that. Okay.
And I think that is a lot to do with my points. You got to go back to the courts to take back your authority and powers and stop their destruction. But the courts are part of the destruction, and you're not going to get it. But again, on the other side, again, this is worked so hard in the courts, and have filed hundreds of papers, literally hundreds of papers, indictments, habeas corpus, with challenges to unconstitutional foreclosures and various other cases. We've sent writ of quorum, we've put demands, we sent them memorandums of law, and they have ignored every single paper. We're talking many, many, many papers, and someone's got a mic. Someone close their mic. Let me see. All right. And we filed hundreds of papers, and they remain silent. They've done nothing. But when we first started filing these papers, we were kind of a little naive, thinking that we're going to get them to pay a little attention to us. But quite quickly, we realized they couldn't care less. We're just an annoying fly to them. That's all we are. And these people worship Satan. They're Satanists, at least on the highest level they are. So that's who's ruling, and he's prince and power of the air. He rules this world, and so it's no surprise, and Leviathan has got to be taken out, and I do believe Leviathan is in the process of being taken out. But, we have to really get ourselves educated, but we put all these papers, and we continued our papers because we understood we had to build a case. And we built a case. We have proven beyond a shadow of a doubt, you cannot argue against this. We have proven conspiracy in our federal courts all the way up to the United States Supreme Court, although today the United States Supreme Court has the ability to do the right thing. They have enough the right people to do the right thing, and we're going to see what they're going to do. And if they don't, then they're just as guilty as the rest of them. So we're going to have a little bit of dependence upon them, and if not, we're going to demand that they be also removed. And the only one that could remove them is the military. We, the people, ordained and established this Constitution for them, for the United States of America. We're the ordainers. We're the one who established it. We placed ourselves under God in the Declaration of Independence. We ask to be under his law and thereby receive his blessings and his protection. And that's where we stand as a people. And I do believe, let's get back to the point that we can prove without a shadow of a doubt a conspiracy by every court. It does not matter what you do or where you go. We can go to a federal court in Texas, a federal court in California, New York. We can go to Missouri, we can go any state in the union, and we will get the same results, the same response, and that proves they have conspired to destroy our courts of law. And our nation will be as honorable and be as just and as righteous as our court system. That is the reflection of who we are as a people, because when we become a people of law, and the people who are running our government, who we've elected and vested them with certain powers and restricted certain powers for them to exercise, when those people break that law, they need to be removed. And that's where we're at right now. So we have the proof, and we are trusting the military. We do believe that we have the military's ear. And again, this next paper we're about to file is the last paper we're going to file, because next year, this paper is going to either stand and bring us back course of justice, or we have lost everything. But I don't think that we're going to lose. I think we're going to win. But again, it's up to the people to take control. You don't expect to be ignorant and free. It's not possible. Jefferson was absolutely clear with that. All of our founding fathers were clear with that. You cannot have government by consent if you're ignorant to what it is and how to have it, and if you don't know the law. You cannot have your liberties if you don't know the law. If you don't know the law, how can you tell when they're breaking the law? I can tell you every day, you can turn on the news, and I can point out numerous things that have broken the law over and over and over and over again, day in, day out, week in, week out, month in, month out, year in, year out. Does not matter. They are constantly do it. And the people are blind to it. They don't see it. For if they saw it, they'd be outraged. but they're not outraged. They're outraged now a little bit because it's costing too much to live. People can't afford to live in it. It's a struggle. And those of us who enter into the courts really get depressed when we discover that the Constitution doesn't apply no more. The law of land doesn't apply no more. You don't apply no more. So it's up to let's step up and do what we have to do. Either that or we lose it all. All right, next question.
Okay, thank you, John. Mr. Duresh, I'm starting a committee of safety in my county. We have had about a dozen people come and go in the last 3 to 4 months. I am trying to get at least 4 to 6 people that are committed to the NLA and Committee of Safety protocol. Even though we do not discourage other organizations, I have not been able to get the 4 officer seats filled to go forward. It seems everyone is bringing a different approach to the table that they say will work. As I have been in the Patriot community for 20 years, I do not see any other sane common sense approach besides NLA and Committee of Safety. The latest approaches are, 1, re-inhabit Republic for the United States of America, 2, the John Birch Society. Can you give me any feedback on either one of these organizations? Thank you.
Well, I can tell you that the John Birch Society has been taken over a long time ago. they talk about good things, they talk about the problems, but they don't do anything about it. They refuse to get involved with the political process. Now, I've talked with some, matter of fact, I've talked with the president many, many years ago, and I was trying to connect with him about talking about the political process. And we don't get involved with politics. We don't deal with politics. We're not talking politics. We're talking the political process, the election. They didn't want to hear it. Okay? Maybe they didn't understand it. But ignorance is as bad as anything else. Matter of fact, maybe ignorance is even more dangerous than anything else. And so I know they have the people that go there have good intentions, and they think they're doing good because they're talking the truth, at least. Well, at least way back when I was listening in on a little bit, they were talking truth. I'm sure they still are, but they're not doing it. That's the problem. Someone's got to close their mic. It's probably you, Terry. I think your mic is left open.
Yeah, I forgot to close it. Sorry.
So with that one organization, what was the name of the other organization?
Re-inhabit the Republic. I mentioned it last week or the week before last, and I've been investigating that a lot.
Is that the one with the woman that's speaking that she's a colonel or a general? Lieutenant colonel, right? Yeah, I've looked into that, and we're going to be talking about that soon, so I'll reserve that for later. For another day, shall I say, really. I spoke with Eric about that today also, and Eric is going to make that connection. I suggested that she take a look, at least start at the front page of our website, and go through presentment, government by consent that we're presenting, and then we can have a conversation. At least you'll understand. Now, as to the person, that is a major problem we have. People all think they want to do one thing. They put the cart before the horse, and that's a major problem. It's unfortunate. And new people coming in don't realize that we've already tested a lot of these other things, and they don't work. But we've already known and understand the situation. They're not going to listen to you. You can go to boards and town board meetings. You can go to school board meetings, and you could possibly get arrested just for trying to tell them that they stop teaching my children woke stuff or all these demoralizing things and demand them to do the right thing. And people can get arrested. I don't think that that's widespread kind of thing, but it has happened. And so therein is the problem, and there's only one way to fix this problem, and we've spent a lot of time with a lot of research trying to figure this out, then use logic to apply it, common sense, to see, well, let's do this first before we can do that. It starts off in towns and counties. Let's say county levels. You have to take your county back, which requires you to take back all your towns, all your villages, and the county itself. That's where it starts, while other people in other counties are doing the same thing. And then collectively, we take our states back. And then collectively, we take our federal government back. Now, this can escalate a lot quicker, considering that there's going to be the reset coming up next. I'm talking about a government reset. I'm talking about a return to the republic. Again, as Benjamin Franklin said, if you can keep it. Obviously, we couldn't keep it. The question is, again, now, can you keep it? Can we keep it? At least we have the Internet. Well, we can say one thing tonight, and it could go viral, and the whole world hears about it tomorrow. Not so much in back in those days, but today it's possible. But here's the thing. You have to start by going to these boards, these town boards, these school boards. And the most important thing, in my opinion, is to start to take first the educational process back first, and a political process, of course, I think would be second. But you cannot do anything until you win over your sheriff and get your sheriff on board with you to get an educated sheriff. Because without your sheriff, an educated sheriff, an empowered sheriff, you can't get this done, because the boards are going to ignore you. The courts are going to ignore you. But, you know, we're teaching people first order of business, get a certain amount of people together, which I don't want to get too deep in explaining this. Matter of fact, people can go tonight, tomorrow, or whatever, and listen to this presentment we put up on the front page here. Only put this up a few days ago. National Liberty Alliance presents government by consent. Go listen to that. It's the first video on our front page. And that lays out the whole program. Now, it doesn't get into certain details, which maybe I should run through another video that's focusing in on how to take the boards back. We have written this up. We've spoken about it here on Monday Night Programs. But to take the boards back, and again, the most powerful one to take back, and powerful for two reasons, that is school boards, because it's powerful by giving our children a proper education and setting them on the right track, giving them the ability to know who we are as a people, what their heritage is, what a court of justice is, how to go into a court, how to have government by consent, how to connect and become part of the militia, how to make sure that you respond to the call for being a grand jurist or a trial jurist. You know, these are the things we have to teach our children. But we also have to teach ourselves those things, because we've forgotten them. Collectively speaking, we've forgotten them, of course. Many of us have never known it. You know, we have it a little bit. We have liberty somewhat in our blood because through osmosis, because we thought we were free. And to some degree, we acted free. Less and less as days go by, but more and more on days gone by. You know, when I was a child, I really believed in certain things about America, and I took that into my adulthood, and it was delivered to me by my parents and somewhat a little bit in school, not so much though, but not that I knew things. It's just that, you know, that belief that I'm free. You know, but who believes they're free anymore? Go step up against the government. But anyway, in order to take a school board back or a town board back, you need to go in there with power and authority. You need to go in there with enough people to overwhelm them. You need to have the sheriff or one of his deputies that's working with you right there with you. You need to have a writ quo warranto in your back pocket. And when you tell this, come together in one accord with all the people and make it clear on what you expect this board to do, or resign. Be obedient to we the people, or resign. Okay? And when they reject you, then you pass the writ quo warranto over to the sheriff, and the sheriff serves the writ quo warranto on every single board member. And they got 3 days to respond. If not, they yield up their seat. And then you can seize that seat. Anyone can seize that seat until the next election for that board. And then we could start taking control of our schools. We could do the same thing with town boards. With all the boards that you would have to deal with, town boards, village boards, city boards, or whatever the case may be. I know some places are run by mayors or whatever the case may be, but that's another story. And that's removal. The understanding of power and the authority of recall and how to do it. How to take these people out of office. And how to get the people within that community to understand, realize, and make the vote and get rid of that person. Okay, and again, you can build up your committees of safety very powerfully just by going to the first school board, because you're going to send information out you know, we'll put together a couple of ideas. People can do what they want, but let a postcard inviting people to a meeting because we've got to take our school back. And you can lay out all the problems in the schools. And you start with each school district. You know, you might have 20, 30 school districts in a county, and you have to visit them all, one at a time. But every time you visit one, new people are going to get involved. They're going to come down to the meeting. They're going to get involved with the discussion. Many of them are going to have children in the schools that they want to bring back. They don't want this woke crap in their minds of their children. They don't want the demoralization. They want one nation under God. They want the you know, the Pledge of Allegiance back in the school. We want prayer back in the school. I know some people choke on that. Choke. We need prayer back in the school. You know, if we don't honor the king of our court and we don't know who the king of our court is, then we got a problem. The king of our court is Jesus Christ. It's God Almighty. You go read the Declaration of Independence. We were put under his law and asked for his blessings. And we don't receive that blessings unless we're obedient to the law. And so that's the king of our courts. And if people choke on that, well, I'm sorry. You know, you've been your mind has been distorted from all of the craziness of the news media and all of the entertainment and all of the things out there.
Can I ask you a question, John?
Yeah.
What happened when Lincoln was fighting Civil War, before the Civil War? What happened when he had a Congress? And all the southern states walked out. He no longer had a quorum. Is that correct?
I don't know enough about that, but it sounds like it might be correct, but that's not necessarily so. The quorum would lessen depending on the states that you had at some point when the states left the union. Did the states leave the union by then or no?
Yeah, they left the union. That's what started the Civil War.
Well, they tried to. Okay, so
they left, and Lincoln couldn't do anything because Congress was now didn't have a quorum. They couldn't do any business according to the Constitution. And then he managed to get some funding, but they said you got to have this corporate stuff, and so that's when the Organic Act came, and then the 13th, 14th Amendment later, and. They filled a corporate entity, and that became our Congress. And Lincoln was going to nullify it and bring back the regular Congress, but he never got a chance to because he was killed in Ford's Theater. That's what they're talking about, re-inhabiting the Republic for the United States. They have quietly gone since 2010, and they've got a proclamation up there, and they're trying, they've got governors of each state, they're bringing back the offices in every state, because every state was subjugated to the corporation, and we haven't had a real republic since Lincoln died.
Very.
And they're trying to set this all up in accordance with the Northwest Ordinance, which was approved July 13th, 1787, right before the Constitution. And it has certain things that are supposed to be satisfied. You have to have at least 30,000 people in the state. You have to have at least so many counties, and there has to be 5,000 people in each county, landholders. And they're trying to put that back together, and they're doing it very quietly, and they have been since 2010, which is around the time you were looking at this stuff. So they really have a pretty good case.
Can you hear me? Hello.
Yes, I can hear you now. I can hear you now.
I've been trying to tell you to stop for quite some time, but I guess...
I'm sorry. I didn't hear it. I'm sorry.
All right. Okay. We're going to be talking about major problems with everything you're talking about. And I don't want to spend tonight talking about that. We have a different agenda. But I'm more than happy to talk about that in detail. I have studied what they're doing. I know what they're doing. I've seen this done before. But it is not the way, unfortunately. Now, again, I didn't want to get into this. It's too premature, so I'm not even going to talk about it. Let's get back.
Okay, I'll go on to the next question.
Where I was. Go ahead.
Okay, let me click the right spot. Those in government that legislate laws to extort the innocent are guilty of treason. Those officers who willingly execute those laws of extortion and arrest are guilty of treason. Those that persecute using these man-made laws of extortion are guilty of treason. Those that sentence or fine using those laws of treason are guilty of treason. Congress shall not make up a public law that extorts the God-given right of free speech. A threatening of kidnapping me was used to force me into this court, where the state prosecutor is using a man-made up law of disorderly conduct in an attempt to force me into paying $185 for being innocent. So there's no question there, but you heard what he said. I read it. We're done. That's all the questions.
Nobody wins the traffic court. Occasionally, I've seen a couple of people, but they didn't really win on merit or anything. It was something going on between the judge and the person. So, but in or if the officer doesn't show up, because it's mostly traffic court, you know, and if the officer doesn't show up, then they're supposed to throw the case out. If you don't push that back, they don't tell you anything. And the other thing, they'll just make another statement come back. But look at all of that again. Is gets back to the same problem. Until we have justice, we'll have no justice. I mean, that's logical, right? We do not have one. You know, we have civil law courts, and they're chancery courts with chancellors, and they literally make the law up off the bench as they please. They have no restrictions, nothing. They do and say whatever they want. They are judge, jury, and executioner. And they also become your representative. They represent you as being guilty. And that's why all these court systems up. Anybody who hasn't been in the courts that don't know about this, they may think that sounds crazy. Well, it is crazy. They may not believe it. But I'm telling you, I know for a fact we've been in hundreds of cases, same thing over and over and over again. It doesn't matter what the case is. You know, you're going up against the status quo. You're going up against whether it be the corporations or the government. You lose, they win, and that's it. Don't tell me you can't be paying taxes. Perspective. You need to be paying taxes, or we're going to put you in debtor's prison. And that's what they do. Debtor's prison is alive and well in the United States of America. But again, to some degree, we deserve it because we got lazy. To some degree, we will absolutely deserve it if we don't save this nation, because the only way to save this nation is through education and exercising on unalienable rights of government by consent. Right, is that the last question or now?
Yes, that was the last question. Thank you, John.
All right, I didn't expect to spend this much time on this, but I'm going to try to go through this quickly so we can have somewhat of an open forum, get maybe some questions. I do see a few people in the queue. But I want to read some pages off of this paper that we put together, and we're going to be filing. I'm not going to be able to do the whole thing. Let me see if I can find this now. Hang on a second, because I lost the... that PDF I had was the wrong PDF. Anyway, while I'm doing looking for this, Gerard, do you have anything you want to comment on any of the things we've been talking about?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now. I don't know if you want to comment on anything while I'm looking for this paperwork.
Well, there's so much to talk about, and a lot of stuff going on. I've gotten to the point where I think that the white hats have so much control now that they're just going through the motions to wake up what's left of the people that are still asleep, because they're looking to get a better than 80% approval rating, which I think they'll do if they don't have it already. Because the left, the cabal, has gotten so ridiculous, and they've taken them down to such a point they have no money, so they can't really mount a significant false flag is what they want. They want World War III, and I don't believe they're going to get it. I think that's just going to be a scare. So the events that have been going on lately make me just feel more confident that this thing is close to being resolved as far as, I mean, there's a lot of work to get done, be done, don't get me wrong. But once the announcement comes that we're going back to a constitutional government and a gold-backed coin, you know, I had a very good video that Mike King did, and he said it was the two faces of Trump. You got to realize something with Trump. He's always playing that game, that 5G chess. But like when he says, I'm going to eliminate income taxes on your tips. And they're yeah. And they go, I'm going to eliminate tax on Social Security. He's not lying, but he's not telling you the whole story because he knows that people can't accept the whole story, which is we're going to just do away with income tax. But Amen. People don't have the capacity to believe that. So he's spoon-feeding them this stuff. He's telling them what they want to hear, and he's giving them little by little. And mark my words, that's what's going on. I don't want to get into a big thing, but I thought that's something we should keep in perspective. And understand, this is a worldwide thing. He is dealing with all the governments in the world. This has been set up from years ago, and especially from his 4 years in office. He laid the foundation for this, and all the main leaders of the world are all cooperating to get rid of this cabal, and I think it's just about dead. So that's my opinion.
Well, amen to that. I see the same thing, and I was thinking the same thing, and I'm sure a lot of people that have been following closely enough to seeing the same thing. So, yes, amen. Okay, let's get back to where we wanted to be. This is and again, we started this about 3 or 4 weeks ago, actually about 4 weeks ago, and I was planning to read a little bit every week and to get through the whole thing, but we don't have the time anymore. We've run out of time, and we've had too many problems for me getting on to do this. But so I'm just going to go through the highlights of this paper, and you know, really what needs to be done to take back our courts of law. When we take back the courts, we take back everything. Just remember that. The key is in the law. Get the republic reinstated, take back our courts, have courts of justice, require obedience and to their oath, and we take the political process. Every single problem we have down on the county level, down on the town level, we take it all back because we use the courts to deal with it. And for anybody that resists. But I think after all these arrests take place and the military makes a move and they turned back the country, the nation back, you know, well, the country, the nation back to the people, then we have that opportunity. But will the people think that the only thing they have to do to have government by consent is to just vote? Well, then we're going to lose this real quick. All right. Anyway, this is a grand jury present me. It's the final papers to the United States Supreme Court. This is a national emergency, an extraordinary presentment, and an extraordinary indictment upon the federal judiciary. Bartorch judges have twice ignored and concealed our writ quo warranto. This presentation is our final demand, after which enforcement will be implemented. And we are counted on the movements of the military. We are copying the military, and we have been copying the military for a while now. And we've, again, like I mentioned earlier, we've discovered that they have been paying attention to our papers, and they have no choice but, and we even make points of that in this paper, they have no choice but to do something, because for them to honor their oath and see the subversion against America, against the people, by enemies foreign and domestic, they have no choice but to react. And they're willing and able. We know that because they've already communicated this with Trump. Okay, Bartorch judges have twice ignored and concealed our writ quo warranto. This presentation is our final demand, after which enforcement will be implicated. The Supreme Court justices took an oath to guarantee a Republican form of government. We, the people, demand a declaratory judgment to restore our courts of justice under the law of the land. It will be an evil day for American liberty if the theory of a government outside supreme law finds lodgment, as it has, in our constitutional jurisprudence, no higher duty rests upon this court, the United States Supreme Court, we're talking to each one of these justices individually, than to exert its full authority to prevent all violations of the principles of the Constitution. Notice to agent is notice to principal. We find that in Montana Code annotated 2023. 18 U.S.C. subsection 2071, whoever willfully and unlawfully conceals, removes, mutilates, shall be fined under this title or imprisoned, not more than 3 years or both. Excuses or ignoring will be futile. Additional redundant services upon the United States Supreme Court. So we're filing this to the United States Supreme Court, and we're filing it to each one of the justices within their own circuits throughout the country. And we also are, our enforcement, we're copying a copy of this to the Judge Advocate General, National Guard Bureau, NORAD, U.S. NORTHCOM, Office of the Air Force, and then U.S. Army and the Pentagon. And we're also copying, and if anybody could think of anyone else that we should be copying this to, you know, just send a note to mail, M-A-I-L, at nationallibertyalliance.org, and we'll look to see if we should send them a copy. So we need people, we need to copy people who we know are standing up and saying something about the problem and trying to do something with the problem. So we're copying President Donald Trump. What happened? Okay. Tom Fenton of Judicial Watch. Donald Trump Jr., I understand he's very active. Robert Kennedy. Senator Mike Lee. Senator Ted Cruz, Senator John Kennedy, Senator Rand Paul, Senator Joseph Hawley, Congressman Mike Johnson, Congressman Jim Jordan, Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor, Congressman Matt Gaetz, Congressman Steve Scalise, Congressman Andy Briggs, Congressman Chip Roy, Congressman Eli Crane, Congressman Corey Mills, Congressman Jim Banks. Okay, this is our table of contents, which I'm not going to go through it right now, and our exhibits. We've got three exhibits on here. So that's our cover sheet. Now, then it picks up here, extraordinary presentment. Comes now, and again, I'm only going to read certain pages, hopefully as little as possible, but I do want to get the gist out. And once we file this paper, we are depending on everyone who is hearing this to take this paper and get the word out everywhere. And we need to make this viral if possible. In a moment we do file it, we will be announcing it. We'll send out an email to all of our members to let it know it's been filed and where it's located that they can read the entire thing. And we definitely will be making note of it on our Monday call. Comes now the Constitution, constituted Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury, here and after we the people, for an unprecedented presentment to the United States Supreme Court, being the overseers of the federal judiciary, Article 3, Section 1. All officers of the courts or clerks that avert this presentment by removing, mutilating, concealing, or cover up by any trick, scheme, or device these material facts herein, thereby preventing this presentment from reaching the justices of the United States Supreme Court, will be liable for aiding and abetting pursuant to 18 U.S.C. subsection 2381 and 18 U.S.C. subsection 2, whereas notice to agent is notice to the principal. Nothing in this presentment is to be interpreted as being under civil law, which is repugnant to the common law of the land. This is a case concerning treason at the highest level. On November 10, 2014, the Unified United, we refiled it in the 15 too. Well, I guess we say that, yeah. On November 10, 2014, the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury filed a writ quo warranto on all federal and state courts and all elected officials and refiled on May 13, 2015. All respondents, and the reason why we refiled it is because we then copied the military. And we didn't copy the military in the first time around. All respondents failed to plea and defend. The record shows that no returns, objections, or more time was requested to answer. See Exhibit A attached, which is, of course, the copy of the writ quo warranto. Whereas silence can only be equated with fraud where there is a legal or moral duty to speak, or where inquiry left unanswered would be intentionally misleading. We, the people, are demanding declaratory judgments that will restore our courts of justice and obedience to the law of the land. If the United States Supreme Court cannot find the fortitude to enforce the law of the land upon their own, then because of the magnitude of the conspiracy being addressed in this presentation, the military will. We, the people, codified our unalienable rights in the Declaration of Independence when we said we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce us under absolute despotism, it is our right, it is our duty to throw off such government and to provide new gods, and that's what we're doing, put the old out and bring the new gods in for our future security. This presentment is the beginning of that process. If the United States Supreme Court rejects the settling of this national emergency under the rules of common law, then we, the people, include in this extraordinary presentment the removal of the justices of the United States Supreme Court also. And since the present executive, the majority of Congress and the Senate have been compromised, we, the people, being the sovereign, considering our very republic is at stake, command the military to act and secure what these tyrants took, an oath to obey, protect, and uphold a common law republic. We, the people, demand that the United States Supreme Court do their sacred duty to guarantee a republican form of government under Article 4, Subsection 4, by restoring the law of the land, opening the doors of justice, and restoring the people's courts of justice that proceed according to the course of the common law of the land, under Article 6, Clause 2, without which there is no justice, or resign your office for not honoring your oath that you have taken, or face the wrath of this grand jury under Article 3, Subsection 3, for warring against the Constitution and we the people. This presentment is not a prayer. It's a demand by the sovereigns that vested you with power under Article 3, Subsection 1 and Subsection 2. Duty of the United States Supreme Court. The Declaratory Judgment Act 28 U.S.C. Subsection 2201A states, in a case of actual controversy within its jurisdiction, any court of the United States, upon the filing of an appropriate, I crossed out pleading because we the people gave them their power, demand. So an appropriate demand by the people may declare the rights and other legal relations of any interested party seeking such declaration, whether or not further relief is or could be sought. Any such declaration shall have the force and effect of a final judgment or decree and shall be reviewable as such. So they have codes here that gives us the power, but we didn't need this code, but we'll give it to them anyway. The United States Supreme Court, having judicial power in all cases in law arising under the Constitution via Article 3, Subsection 2, whereas this is a case of subversion concerning serious constitutional violations, insomuch that we are on the precipice of enslavement, whereby the federal judiciary violated the duty to guarantee the people courts of justice, not chancery, whereas the United States Supreme Court, being a branch of the United States government, is to guarantee a republican form of government in every state in this union via Article 4, Subsection 4. The United States Supreme Court has oversight, whereas all the people of the United States have been injured and are in jeopardy. It is emphatically the providence and duty of the Judicial Department to say what the law is, Marbury versus Madison. The purpose of this presentment is to delineate the subversion of our courts by the insidious bar that also provided for the paving the way for the subversion of our judicial, executive, and legislative branches. The bar, being the crux of the subversion, found its way in American soil as early as 1750 while we were still British colonies. Its purpose was to abrogate the common law and replace it with the Babylonian law, also known as civil law or Roman law or municipality law. in order to bring the colonies under the control of civil law, thus providing for the enslavement of the American colonies. After the colonies formed a nation, thus becoming United Sovereign States, the bar had already succeeded in developing many chancery courts throughout the colonies that possessed general de facto equity powers distinct from common law courts, whereas chancellor judges took on the role of judge, jury, and executioner, where there is no grand or petit jury. Today, many, but not all, of these courts put up a facade, giving the appearance of a people's court via stack juries. Many of these courts go on and put people in jail without even going to a jury. People who haven't been in the courts don't know that. Over time, these so-called equity courts found lodgment in our federal courts and was eventually solidified in 1938 via the Rules Enabling Act of 1934, marking the end of justice courts in America. After our founding fathers succeeded in establishing a common law nation under God, they contended with the insidious bar that was destroying our newfounded God-given liberties and justice courts. In response, in January 1810, Senator Reed proposed the Title of Honor Amendment. The Senate voted to pass by a vote of 26-1. The House resolved in the affirmative, 87-3. By December 10, 1812, 12 of the required 13 states ratified Amendment 13 in 1819 that reads as follows. If any citizen of the United States accepts, claims, receives, or retains any title of nobility or honor, and the key here is honor, bar lawyers have the title of high honor above general, gentleman, and below the knight, called esquire. They don't have titles of nobility. Titles of nobility are inherited through the bloodline. Honor is appointed from people here or there. Or shall, without the consent of Congress, accept or retain any present, pension, office, or emolument of any kind whatever from any emperor, king, prince, or foreign power, such person, and this is powerful, shall cease to be a citizen of the United States and shall be incapable of holding any office of trust or profit under them or either of them. Sometime after 1865, the 13th Amendment that barred bar attorneys, esquires, from elected offices and practicing in our courts just disappeared, just in time for the founding of the American Bar Association on August 21st, 1878, in Saratoga Springs, New York, by 100 esquires from 21 states. Equity in its broadest and most general signification, this term denotes the spirit and the habit of fairness, justice, and right dealings. It is positive law, which is man-made law, whereas in America it is for fictions only, such as corporations, interstate commercial activities, government agencies, and their agents, whereas law is natural law that we the people are under. As Samuel Adams said, the natural liberty of man is to be free from any superior power on earth and not to be under the will or legislative authority of man, but only to have the law of nature for his rule. Our Constitution established law and equity as the law of the land, whereas the foundation of our law is common law, also known as natural law, see the Declaration of Independence, thus establishing equity being man-made law under American jurisprudence established by the rules of common law, also known as maxims. Propagandized bar lawyers via a covert anti-common law plot by enemies domestic, nibbling away at the people's republican form of government established under Article 4, Section 4, was ordained indelibly stating, the United States shall guarantee to every state of this union a republican form of government, not a democratic form of government. In Marbury versus Madison, it was decided, it is a proposition too plain to be contested that the Constitution controls any legislative act or rule repugnant to it, or that the legislator or Supreme Court may alter the Constitution by an ordinary act. Certainly all those who have framed written constitutions contemplate them as forming the fundamental and paramount law of the nation, and consequently the theory of every such government must be that an act of the legislation or rule repugnant to the Constitution is void. This theory is essential attached to a written constitution and is consequently to be considered by this court as one of the fundamental principles of our society. It is not therefore to be lost sight of in further consideration of this subject. If an act of the legislator or Supreme Court repugnant to the Constitution is void, does it not withstand to invalidly bind the courts and oblige them to give it effect? Or, in other words, though it be not law, does it constitute a rule as operative, as if it was a law? This would be to overthrow, in fact, what was established in theory, and would seem, at first view, an absurdity too gross to be insisted on. It shall, however, receive a more attentive consideration. It is emphatically the providence and duty of the Judicial Department to say what the law is. Those who apply the rules to a particular case must of necessity expound and interpret that rule. If two laws conflict with each other, the courts must decide on the operation of each. So if a law be in opposition to the Constitution, if both the law and the Constitution apply to a particular case, so that the court must either decide that that case conformably to the law, disregarding the Constitution or conformability to the Constitution, disregarding the law, the court must determine which of these conflicting rules govern the case. This is the very essence of judicial duty. If, then, the courts are to regard the Constitution is superior to any ordinary act of the legislature, the Constitution, and not such ordinary act must govern the case to which they both apply. Those who controvert the principle that the Constitution is to be considered in court as a paramount law are reduced to the necessity of maintaining that courts must close their eyes on the Constitution and see only the law. This doctrine would subvert the very foundation of all written constitution. It would declare that an act which, according to the principles and the theory of our government, is entirely void, is yet in practice completely obligatory. It would declare that if the legislature shall do what is expressly forbidden, such act notwithstanding the express prohibition. How do you pronounce that? Let me see.
Prohibition.
Prohibition. Prohibition is in reality effectual. It would be given to the legislature a practical and real omnipotence with the same breath which professes to restrict their powers within narrow limits. It is prescribing limits and declaring that those limits may be passed at pleasure, that it thus reduces to nothing what we have deemed the greatest improvement on political institution, a written constitution, would of itself be sufficient in America, where written constitutions have been viewed with so much reverence for rejecting the Constitution, but the particular expressions of the Constitution of the United States furnishes additional arguments in favor of its rejection. Thus, the particular phraseology of the Constitution of the United States confirms and strengthens the principle supposed to be essential to all written constitution, that a law repugnant to the Constitution is void, and that the courts as well as other departments are bound to the Constitution, bound by that instrument. The government of the United States has been emphatically termed a government of laws and not of men. It will certainly cease to deserve this high appellation if the laws furnish no remedy for the violation of a vested legal right. It is in these words, I do solemnly swear that I will administer justice without respect to persons and do equal rights to the poor and to the rich, and that I will faithfully and impartially discharge all the duties incumbent on me as according to the best of my abilities and understanding, agreeably to the Constitution and the laws of the United States. Why does a judge swear to discharge his duties agreeably to the Constitution of the United States if that Constitution forms no rule for his government? If it closes upon, if it closed upon him and cannot be inspected by him, if such be the real state of things, this is worse than solemn mockery. To prescribe or to take this oath becomes equally a crime. In conclusion, this presentment will clearly establish and delineate the evil that has formed lodgment in our constitutional jurisprudence and pave the way to correct it. Any resistance will find themselves under the wrath of justice. Okay, now I'm just going to skip on and go through the list of what needs to be done to repair our courts. Let me see what page that is found on. Okay, 122. Okay, almost there. I think this, I think we hit it. Hold on. Nope, not yet. Okay, like I said, this is a very long paper. I strongly suggest that once we post this, which we will post it the day we file it, or serve it, shall I say. We're not filing anything, we're serving. So when we serve this paper, we will post it. I'll send out an email to all our members, and we'll make note of it, of course, on a Monday night program. I strongly suggest that everybody read this paper from beginning to end. It'll take quite some time because it's close to a couple of hundred pages. It's 127 pages, but then there are additions to it. So it's probably about 160 pages altogether. Okay, ordered and adjudged. Again, we're not asking for anything. We're not giving them a wherefore clause. No, we're giving them an order and we're judging. Okay, and this is the conclusion of what they must do to conform to our will and to bring back this republic. And I do know and I do believe that every Supreme Court justice is educated enough to know when they read this that this is the true law of the land. And that they know, they will know, I got to believe that they know. They're educated people, but there are some ignorant people up there that were put up there for the purpose of destruction, so maybe that's wrong on all of them. But majority of them, thankfully, will understand and will understand that this is the law of the land, that this is where we should be, and that where we are right now is nothing but subversion and destruction and enslavement. Ordered and adjudged, on behalf of all the people of these United States, we, the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury, the sureties of the peace, command the United States Supreme Court to declare to all courts declaratory relief as follows. Number one, declare that the Organic Act of 1871 and all later legislative construction upon said act is null and void. That only the sovereign people are endowed by the Creator with certain unalienable rights, can ordain and establish governments. Pseudo-governments are fictions having no such powers. Two, declare that the Rules Enabling Act and civil law, being repugnant to the Constitution, are null and void, and that our common law and its rules are laws of the land, and that equity, also known as positive law, is for fiction and not people, and that comity, is not, and that's when they call, for instance, trial courts, whatever decisions they make on a trial level, they claim that to be the common law. That's called comity, C-O-M-I-T-Y, is not common law, whereas equity is also under common law and its rules. Three, declare that the United States is a republic and that all courts are to guarantee a republican form of government under Article 4, Subsection 4, which proceeds according to the course of the common law under Article 4, Clause 2. Four, declare that the very meaning of sovereignty is that the decree of the sovereign makes the law. A consequence of this prerogative is the legal ubiquity of the king, which is nature's God, his majesty, which is Jesus Christ, and the eye of the law is always present in all his courts, though he cannot personally distribute justice. His judges, which is the juries, are the mirror by which the king's image, Jesus Christ, is reflected via his law. Five, declare that the United States Supreme Court, Ingalls versus Vitale, that forbidded the free exercise of religion in violation of First Amendment, and is herein overturned. Six, declare that any legislative law, and by the way, that case is what removed prayer and the Bible from the schools. Declare that any legislative law that infringes upon the rights of the people to keep and bear arms is null and void, and that said right is secured by the Second Amendment. 7. Declare that writ habeas corpus is secured by Article 1, Subsection 9, Clause 2, is not to be denied, and does not need approval by a servant judge in order to be heard. It is the sovereign right of the people to file a writ habeas corpus and to be heard according to the law of the land within 3 days, which we filed probably very close to, if not 100, habeas corpuses, and they ignored them all. 8. Declare that justices shall be administered to all without delay or denial, without sale or prejudice. Court access without cost is a right of the people. A state may not impose a charge for the enjoyment of a right. 9. Declare that the practice of law is a sovereign right, and that the people may appear as an attorney at law without being admitted and registered. 10. Declare that natural law demands that the people, via free and independent, fully informed grand juries, have the supreme judicial authority to indict or not, to decide the law, and that prosecutors have no authority to change or negotiate away the grand jury's indictments. 11. Declare that petit juries must be fully informed, and that the people, being the author and source of the law, have the unalienable right as jurists to judge the law as well as the facts in the controversy, to exercise their prerogative of nullification, sentencing, and to disregard instructions of the magistrate. It is the jury that is the final arbiter of all things. 12. Declare that trial judges are not to be tampered with, stacked, or tainted. Declare that trial juries are not to be tampered with, stacked, or tainted through instructions or handbooks written by the state. It is an absurdity for jurors to be required to accept the judge's view of the law against their own opinion, judgment, and conscience. 13. Declare that the commissioner of jurors, they may be called other things in different states, but declare that the commissioner of jurors, who are officers of the court and owes fidelity to the state, is the epitome of jury tampering. Therefore, the people, via jury administrators, educated and certified in common law by the people themselves, are the only lawful administrators of the juries and are lawfully able to orientate and advise the juries in the common law and their common law duties. National Liberty Alliance has accepted that responsibility to educate and certify jury administrators. 14. Declare that amendment, 17, null and void, because it destroyed the balance of power. It robbed the states of their suffrage and sovereignty, allowing for imbalanced acts of legislation, destroyed the principles of republican government, ignores our founders' irrefutable argument in favor of a division of the legislative power into two branches, destroyed legislative checks and balances. 15. Declare that Amendment 13, that was ratified in 1819 and concealed, is to be restored, whereas the subversion of our natural law courts in the United States of America could not have been accomplished without the ABA and its subversive teachings, and therefore must be abolished. Indictments accordingly will be filed separately, along with many cases that have attached themselves to the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury in the interest of justice. 16. Declare that Title 26 is not law, and that a direct tax is a slave tax forbidden by common law and Article 1, Section 9, Clause 4 of the Constitution, and the IRS's debtors' prisons are unlawful under common law. 17. Declare that judicial comity is repugnant to the common law, and that common law, also known as natural law, is the law of the land, as distinguished from the Roman law, the modern civil law, the canon law, and other systems. The common law is that body of law and justice theory, juristic theory, which was originated, developed, and formulated, and is administered in England, and has obtained among most of the states and peoples of the Anglo-Saxon stock. 18. Declare that the rules of common law are the laws of the land, and the rules enabling act being repugnant to the common law is herein null and void. 19. Declare that the sheriff is the chief law enforcement officer of a county being chosen by the popular election with all powers and authority bestowed upon him by the common law, also confirmed in Mack versus United States. City, town, villages, and state police forces being relatively modern inventions have no authority or power over the sheriff. The states must conform to the common law being the supreme law of the land. Article 4, Section 4 requires that the states be to have a natural law republican form of government. Article 6, Clause 2 requires that every state shall be bound to the supreme common law of the land. The common law demands a constitutional law enforcer known as the sheriff, vested by natural law with all the powers and duties of the sheriff, implied from the name and nature of his office. An officer of great antiquity, dignity, trust, and authority, with the authority to call the grand jury along with the coroner, whereas prosecutors have no such authority under the common law and must submit their request along with their exculpatory evidence to the sheriff for consideration to bring the accusations before the grand jury. Exculpatory, I think that's how it's pronounced. Declare that the judiciary are to place on the court of record their oaths and their bonds whenever demanded by the people to do so. 21. Declare that the judiciary are to perform their oaths faithfully, guaranteeing a republican form of government secured under Article 4, Subsection 4. In conclusion, Federalist Number 78, page 520. 5, and Marbury versus Madison demand that the United States Supreme Court is to say what the law is, and under Article 4, Section 4 is to guarantee a republican form of government. Any Supreme Court justice who does not comply with his oath to the Constitution of the United States wars against that Constitution and is engaging in acts of violation of the supreme law of the land. That Supreme Court justice is engaged in acts of treason. Our founding documents were built upon 8 ancient biblical principles ordained by we the people, where we establish sound government built upon self-evident truths and the laws of nature and of nature's God, and where we the people declared that all men are created equal with certain unalienable rights bestowed upon us by God, and that life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness is paramount, and that government is to preserve these blessings of liberty, serving we the people via our consent. And where we preserve our right to alter or abolish and provide new gods for our future security when government becomes destructive to these ends. We the people in the preamble declared that in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, did ordain and establish the Constitution for the United States of America. Whereas the federal judiciary has established injustice, turning our courts into dens of thieves where there is no peace, and by their every action ignore and trample upon our liberties, which is a gift of God that cannot be abolished. Therefore, it is the solemn duty of the United States Supreme Court to speak, whereas silence can only be equated with fraud where there is a legal or moral duty to speak, or where an inquiry left unanswered would be intentionally misleading. We the people demand that the United States Supreme Court declare the restoration of our courts of justice, where no judge may enter or intercept with their repugnant summary judgments or impose their will in any way upon our courts of justice, where a magistrate will uphold the will of the tribunal, being we the people, that we ourselves will administer to. Presented and ordered under seal, dated September 20th, that's the target date, that might change, could go mostly a week or two, I don't think much more. By October 1st, definitely we'll be filing this grand jury foreman and signed. Okay, so anyway, there's 127 pages here, plus there's other attachments that are very interesting, especially anybody who's studying the law, anybody taking our law courses and really want to learn things. Well, this is a case to be read, because inside this case there's a lot of things you can use within your own case. Each one of these points that we laid out and we numbered, what number did we go up? We went up to 21. 21 points that we made. Each one of these 21 points are defended and laid out very clearly within this paper that we that this is the way the law should be, that we the people have the power and the authority, for we the people vested them with their authority, and we could take it away from them. We can remove them from office, and that is our intentions. No bar attorney should ever come into any court of justice, and that includes equity courts. These people need to leave the bar, and they need to learn common law. It's up to them to come to the National Liberty Alliance and take our course and learn common law and the access of the courts, which they already know court access. They understand the process. They understand how due process works. So all they need to do is learn what our founding fathers taught us, which is the common law. And we've laid it out very clearly in our courses. We've laid it out through our website. We've laid it out through our handbooks that we've written for people in order to empower themselves and have government by consent and take this all back. So I certainly hope that everybody at some point in time, once we post this, eventually reads through it. It might take quite a few readings to get through it. If you're a reader, you know, you'll sit down. And it's enjoyable reading, in my opinion, because it's all history. This is all, it's not only common sense, it's common law, which is nothing. Common law is common sense. Common law is the epitome of common sense. It's built upon maxims, which is common sense. And this is what the people must know and understand if they're going to have liberty. And again, what try to encourage everyone to go listen to this video, this new video I just presented here in the last few days, which lays out the NLA plan in a nutshell. If there's anything, leadership to go through this, and if there's anything that they think I missed, well, we'll go in here and we'll fix it and we'll add it. But I do think we laid out what the what government by consent actually is. The whole thing in a nutshell. We expound upon it in many of our educational courses, in our different papers that we put together and papers that we filed, and the court course that we teach to every child in school. By the time they get out, they should know everything that we've laid out here in National Liberty Alliance. They got 12 years to learn it, and they will learn it. Instead of learning woke and the destruction of America and demoralization and hatred for themselves and people, because that's the bottom line, what it ends up to be, hatred for the human race. All right, with that, we're going to go over to our queue and try to get some questions going in here. But again, I want to really encourage people, once this is served, because we're not filing anything, we're serving. This is a presentment. We're declaring this is what you have to do. Once that happens, we need to make this viral. People need to get this out everywhere and anywhere that they possibly can. Okay, so let's go to the queue. We've got four or five people in here. One, two, three, four people. So we should be able to get through everybody. So let's take our first person. It looks like Dan from South Carolina. You got the mic, go right ahead.
Mr. John, there's no question. The briefing that you've given us is so scholarly, but yet very simply, line for line, laid out. I hope and pray that more people will start paying attention, and let's purchase these various books that you are would be there so easily for them to have a side reference, but yet a visual aid to read. And, of course, we will have the opportunity next week to what you were just saying tonight, being able to view that information that you cited so profoundly and so elegantly. So simple, and I listened to it to its entirety, and I thought it was just so simply the truth that once people start to see and line for line, some people need to read things. And so I'm saying to them right now, get the move on, get a hold of the various documents of books, government by consent, and and pay very due diligence to the Committee of Safety and any and all other areas that Mr. John has briefed us on that I'm not covering at this very minute. Countless things that he and of course, Mr. Jerry Aprile and other guests and other individual researchers and of common sense is what I call you guys. Now, with all that said, I do not want to take away from what you have just expounded on. I want to add fuel to it, and I can tell you that Mr. Donald Trump is very close with me. That's all I need to tell you. And because, just to be quite honest with you, he's going to be our next president and is really technically our president as we speak anyway. But I won't go all into that because I do not want to convolute what you have just aired and gone over. But I am wanting to say this a little tiny bit. Eventually, and it's not going to be, but maybe next year, once Mr. Donald Trump, our eminent president of all times, is in the White House and is having the ear of what we've heard tonight, is going to have. Mr. John DeRash and what he said word for word is going to have to be shared with our president. Well, what I'm trying to get to for just a second is this. I, for one, over several years now, have put together a mathematical formula. I'm a mathematician. And, of course, Donald Trump is going to get the credit. And I'll go ahead and say this in advance. It's going to come through various documents that is going to be known as the President Donald J. Trump Economic Summit Center. And then you can take that same words, the same words, and then put era. And before you know it, he's going to have the documents so aligned to the truth that you've heard here tonight is paramount to anything across this land to save this country. And if we don't take heed to Mr. Donald Trump will, I've got some influence on him, and I don't want to go into that because I'm not trying to turn this politically here. But I am saying, in closing, sir.
Yeah, bear in mind we got four other people here, so go ahead, close up.
I understand. I do. I appreciate that, and I'm very close to say something that really needs to be said. That we now have the mathematical formula, we will not need the taxation and the burdens that because of the intellectual mathematical formulas now that we do have in possession. And so you're going to see 80,000. I'm in closing here. I'm going to tell you there's going to be about 80,000, I'm told. If it's not, it's 8,000. Nothing but attorneys are going to be digging ditches somewhere or another. And that ain't half of it. The rest of the attorneys across this land that you heard Mr. John DeRash just brief on a few minutes ago, the right of nobility and all that, I don't need to go over that. He's done this many, many times for 11 years or more. We've heard it.
Dan, we got to move on.
Okay, all right. I appreciate that. And I will sure tell you that next week maybe is the best time to bring to you what I was going to say to you about Identity Theft Protection Act that a state has now got clear paths for. Let's go now and veer because out of respect to my colleagues, it's 10:42, and I want to say hear to what we've heard tonight. People go and move forward to getting educated, and let's help what our mentor here and mentors have put together. So I'll by patronizing the documents and by getting ourselves educated. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan. We're going to take our next caller. Thanks a lot. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Next is Van. You got the mic, but before you get going, I just want to make one more note. I should have made note of this early on. For those people that are in New York, particularly in the Southern District, Gerard and I are going to be giving a present government by consent in Southern New York, which is going to be in Dutchess County, Poughkeepsie, New York. So anybody that might want to join us, it's going to be this Thursday night at from 7 to 9 p.m. And you know, we've been putting out notices to our New York members, but I'm going to put a notice out to the whole membership, because maybe there's some people in Jersey or in Connecticut that might want to pop in if they're close by. But basically, it's a presentment, really, of government by consent, which, of course, is being used in order to encourage people to create the committees of safety, because we must get back to government by consent. So just real quickly... it's going to be at, let's see the address here, it's 25 Golf Club Lane, Poughkeepsie, New York. 25 Golf Club Lane, Poughkeepsie, New York, Thursday, 9/19/24, this week, 7 p.m. sharp, 7 to 9, and we'll be presenting government by consent. Okay, with that, Van, go right ahead, you got the mic.
Yes. Hello, John and group. My question is, I'd like to know bank account, about setting up a bank account for my COS, if you have any information on that, and or how, what's the best way to get an 800 number. I know that you can get faxes online, If you got some information on that, I would really highly appreciate it. And also, a P.O. box. I'm trying to set up the COS independently from myself.
Does okay. Basically, what you got to remember, though, that once you get the Committee of Safety going, everything belongs to the Committee of Safety. So whatever you set up, you know, needs to be shared with all the people, and, you know, control and responsibility will maybe change over time, but people need to be responsible for whatever it is right. that responsible for. As far as a bank account, I wouldn't go get a bank account right now. You don't need a lot of money. The treasurer can maintain the money, give a report on the monthly meetings, what they got, and just give an update of whatever's going on, and just hold the cash somewhere. You know, that's what I would suggest for right now. At a later point, if you wanted to open up a bank account, that'd be fine. But I'd wait till next year, because there's going to be so much changes in the banking system, the way things work, being able to open up an account, a business account. I mean, there's going to be lots of changes, okay, lots of changes, because, again, we're going to be returning back to the Republic, and that is the key point. And we, you know, we'll be working through a lot more information on that kind of a system and that kind of a situation, because each one of the counties administrators for the juries, okay, which is four administrators and one paralegal, and a paralegal needs to be administrator also, so it's actually five for every county. Each one of those counties, they have to have a budget. And they have to be funded, and that money will be coming from the comptroller, and we'll teach people how that's set up and how we're going to work that out. We'll write that up in the handbook. And so an account has to be opened up, which would be a trust account, and there has to be an accounting of that funds that's given to by the state in order to run the process of orientating the grand juries and working through the process, which right now lawyers are handling. The people, this is the people's business. It's always been the people's business. It's never been anybody else other than the people's business. If you go back through history, since we really established this whole process going back quite some time ago, 12, 15, and maybe even earlier. But in any event, we're going to talk about those things. We do have information in the handbook. Also in the handbook, in a building and developing the Committee of Safety, there is a link in there to a place where you can call up and you can get a phone number, you can get an 800 number, you can get a follow me program in there, which, you know, if someone calls in, you know, you set the whole process, who's going to handle calls during what time, you know, you can share that so that not one person takes on all of that work of taking calls. But basically, you know, it'll follow the person. phone, whatever information you give to try to find you. And then if no one answers that call, it can then be moved on to a second person. And then some people may take it during certain times and another, and this will move around. The point is it's very flexible. It also has a fax machine where you can get internet faxes. So the fax, you know, the fax will go through the system and you'll get an email and you'll be able to open it up in your email. And then you'll be able to go online and send a fax too if you want, or you can use your own fax if you've got a hard fax wired in your home or your office. So we're going to go through all that, but some of that information is already inside the Committee of Safety Organizing Handbook, which, let's see, I'll just open that up real quick. If we come under SADA Committee of Safety, come down to Handbooks, Videos, and Tools. And by the way, that presentment on the front page, let me just real quick go. This is a PowerPoint which was turned into a video. I'll be posting this video for download, and also I'll be posting the PowerPoint if people want to give the PowerPoint live, because they can use this video to introduce people to the Committees of Safety, which is government by consent, and or you can use the PowerPoint and give it verbally, your choice, okay? But we'll add it into this section later. But right now, the County Committee of Safety, that's a committee man organizing handbook, that's the one. In this handbook, you will find contact through to a business that you can set your whole phone systems up. Also, you can do P.O. Box. I would suggest really doing one of those mailing places where you can get a suite. You know, it's just a mailbox, though. I mean, that's what NLA has, and we have also our County Committee of Safety. Not a County Committee of Safety. Our common law grand jury has two addresses, one down in, which is P.O. boxes, though. One's up in Albany, the other one's down in Westchester. So anyway, there's information on that, and we'll get more details as time goes on. Back to you, Van.
Good deal. You answered my questions. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we'll take our next caller. Terry, you got the mic. Go right ahead. What state you from, Terry?
Well, Minnesota. Can you hear me?
Go right ahead. We got you. Minnesota, you said?
Yep, Luverne, Minnesota, right by Sioux Falls.
Okay. Go ahead.
I'm the one that asked the last question, and if anything comes across as me trying to be arrogant or, you know, smarter than anybody else here, I apologize. I'm assuming you guys know of it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political band. Is that familiar to you?
Or replace the gods, and we're going to replace the gods. The process.
Yes, correct. You are correct. They make their laws better, more important than God's laws. You are correct.
Right, but God, when I say the God, I mean the G-U-A-R-D. In other words, we're going to replace.
I'm referring to the God. They make their laws more important than God's laws. So in a way, they make themselves the God of us, the slave. And go ahead.
Yeah, well, anyway, you know, we have, go ahead, finish up what you want to say, then I'll comment.
Yeah, so here's the part that may come across as being arrogant, and once again, I don't mean it that way, but I'm looking at it a little bit more from like the RICO side of this, is that you don't go after the head boss, but what you go after is the little guy. So I just got done today here with my plead, and I said I'm not going to plead today until you read my article, which is a lot like what you have today, by the way, well done. But what I'm saying is, I'm going after the little guy, and before I plead, I say to the little judge here in Luverne, Minnesota, I say, you know, here you have a chance, you are going through here, what you're doing is you're taking an innocent person, you're placing them in a court, they've not violated a natural God-given right, but yet you're still taking money from us. And so you've broken that political band. And that political band means that you've committed treason. You're no longer honoring the people that you have a band with. And so I'm going after the little guy and going, you can go ahead and do this for $185, which is what disorderly conduct is. I'm being charged with disorderly conduct because I called somebody at the DMV a butthole. And because of that, they were going to try to put me in jail, but I wouldn't open the door. And I'm saying is you can't make the word butthole into a crime. It's not possible. And I'm saying if you do this, there is a chance that you may have life imprisonment for willfully violating somebody's rights that you promised to uphold. And that's, I'm just coming from the other side of the coin. Instead of going after I do believe that the Supreme Court is quite corrupt. They've gone through, they've written a rule that we can go through here and giving everybody the right to kill the innocent. This case, it's newborns. It used to be Jews, and then the black people were only worth a certain value, so you could own them. Every time we've had a problem here in the United States, it's because those guys write a rule. Everybody that's not in the government knows what's right. It's these guys that have no clue who God is. And that's how I'll finish.
Okay, well, we appreciate that. And, there are so many problems in our courts, and we need to fix them. We need to change. Every federal judge needs to be removed from the bench, and many of them should be sued. We'll look to the people who they've damaged, and people will find out, and they will be sued. And some of them may even be held for treason. And they need to be replaced. We cannot have any of them. They knowingly and willfully have brought us into slavery and continue to keep us in slavery. And that extends all the way down to the state courts, into the county courts and the town courts and the village courts, which, by the way, anything under the county courts don't have any power or authority over anyone. They're administrative courts. And actually, any court that is not operating under common law is not a court of record, and therefore, they're really civil law courts, which has nothing to do with us. But anyway, we could discuss more of this next week if you want, but we're in agreement.
One more thing.
Okay, thank you.
Can I say one more thing?
Oh, yeah, go right ahead.
I've got this as a quote, and I just wanted to see what you guys thought of it. Either the innocent are guilty, or those that violate the innocent are guilty. And I think that's what the court is doing, because you can't be half pregnant. You're either innocent, you didn't violate God's law, or somebody's violating your law. It's the only two ways you can be in a court of God's law. What they do is they put their court, the court of man's law, is where they bring you to. It is not God's law. So if you're in a court of man's law, you didn't violate a right. They're coming there to extort money from you.
Mm-hmm.
Is that fair, or isn't that kind of what you said in your article?
We would pretty much agree with that. And look at, anybody to be brought into a court for criminal charges, let's say, okay, there has to be a grand jury indictment. And that grand jury indictment can only be presented to them by the sheriff or the coroner. There is no one else. No bar attorney should ever come and address a grand jury. No officer other than the sheriff. And the sheriff, and a court officer, prosecutor, wants to bring charges against someone, they need to bring that information and give it to the sheriff along with the exculpatory, information. You've got to give them all, everything. And then the sheriff will consider and look at the facts and look at the proof and maybe even do a little more digging and then make the decision whether he's going to present it to the grand jury or not. That's the way it's supposed to be. And it's up to the people to have their sheriffs educated. That's what the committees of safety will do. They will bring their sheriffs into the fold, so to speak, will support that sheriff. And if the sheriff is not going to spend his time to read through the necessary information, the books that we can give him and all of the stuff, we give him a free education, all sheriffs can come to National Liberty Alliance and take our court access in the common law course, which is a court of law course on how the process works, which we charge $125 for, and the bar charges $200,000 for theirs. We charge $125. But sheriffs and law enforcement individuals can come in for free. We'll give it to them free of charge. They can come and get educated. If they're too lazy to do that, then I strongly suggest you need to find yourself a new sheriff and let it be known to the sheriff, since you don't want to do this and you don't want to learn the law and protect the people's unalienable rights, then we're going to dismiss you. and give them a recall. Recall them. We'll teach you how to do that. We'll teach you how to do all these things. Everything is up on our website already, but we will teach everyone how to recall and how to approach the sheriff and how to educate the sheriff and then work with the sheriff to take your local government back, because all politics or all political processes actually are local. You know, your representative in Congress is local to you. So everything is local. All right, I appreciate it. We've got to take the next caller. Thank you. Okay, Alicia, you got the mic. What state are you from again? Alicia?
Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Hi, I'm calling from Georgia.
Okay.
And my name is Alicia. And I am calling, I actually have two questions. Fairly simple questions from my standpoint. Number one question is, my husband was given a traffic ticket, and I did hear, you know, the spills throughout the night about traffic court and, you know, winning in traffic court and those comments that were made. And so he was given a speeding ticket. I have read your books on Amazon, the $5 books, the Meet Your Straw Man, and How to Free Yourself, the UCC Connection. And I did go and follow the, you know, advice or the information, should I say, that was in the...
We didn't write you know, the Straw Man book. It does have our name on there, the National Liberty Alliance, a lot of things. Written is in there, but we don't teach people, you know, to get involved with, you know, getting rid of your driver's licenses and approaching the courts in a different way and your security number and so on and so forth. All these things are, you need to correct them, okay? But we have a different way of dealing with it. We're calling the fraud the fraud, and we need to bring it all back and bring back our courts of justice.
Okay, okay. Well, okay, so with that being said, my husband did
get a speeding ticket. If you want to follow what we teach, you can go to our website. Now, you're on the computer. You can see the page I'm sharing, right?
Yes.
Okay. It's found under Education Starts Here, down to Law, and you come over to Court Forms and Process, and you'll get to this page. Then we give you instructions for and forms for traffic court. Now, I'm going to update this because I just recently have added some things to this and put some other things together. So I'll be updating this hopefully this week. But right now what's up here is pretty good. But it's when you get to the end of this is where some changes and some additional stuff is necessary, because I just went through this whole process and to the traffic ticket. But we can talk more about that another time, and I'll get that info up there. What other question do you have?
And would this also work for a summons for a defaulted credit card? Would these same similar things work for that as well?
Well, that's another process. Gerard has a lot more information on that. Maybe he could talk a little bit about that, but I don't think we could do it tonight because we're at the end and I have one more caller, and we're going to try to get that last caller in. Next week, if you bring that issue up, and Gerard probably be here, and I'll let him comment on it because he's been through the process. He's got a lot of information on that, and we'll take it from there, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Hey, Gerard, by the way, when we get offline tonight, give me a call. I need to talk to you. Okay. Let's take our last caller. It looks like Gregory from Maryland, is that?
That's correct. Hi, John. I did just listen to your video, Government by Consent. That's excellent. And my question, what is the title to the filing before the Supreme Court? What do you call that?
The one that we read tonight?
Yeah.
We titled it a presentment.
Just a presentment?
Just a presentment. With an order at the end, though. So it's an extraordinary presentment. We made that point clear in the beginning of the paper, as this is an extraordinary thing. And we're not praying anything. You know, they love to tell you you have to make a prayer. I never use
the man, right?
Huh? Oh, yeah.
It's a demand. Good for you.
People are the ordainers. They have to obey.
So. I think it'll be successful. The reason I asked is I'm going to send you a name for the president of the Republic for the United States of America, a fellow named Geiger, and ask you to send it to him, too.
We're going to talk a little bit about that organization next week, only because people are asking. We're going to have a meeting with some people, hopefully soon. I might wait till I have a meeting before I talk about it, so I may not do it next week. But we will
talk. I'm the fellow working with Eric to put you and Sandy together, okay?
Oh, okay, fine. All right. So we'll talk more about that after
we'll
my call.
Follow up with you.
Okay.
Thank you, then. Bye-bye.
All right. Okay, that brings us to an end of our program for tonight. Let's see. Okay, so we're going to end things for tonight. Lord willing, we'll see you all next week. And again, for those who are in southern New York that would like to come to our government by consent, we're going to be presenting it here in Dutchess County. And we'd like people from other counties to come because hopefully we can connect two or three or more people from other counties together for them to do the same thing that we're doing here in Dutchess County. So hopefully we'll get people from Westchester County and Putnam County, Orange County. I know we'll have people from Orange County, of course, Dutchess County and Ulster County, Greene County, and numerous other counties here in the southern area of New York. But everyone is welcome. Even if people want to travel, that's fine. But it is during the week. It's at 9 p.m. 9 p.m. on Thursday. And it'll be, I'm sorry, 7 p.m. 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. on Thursday. Okay, with that, good night, everybody, and thanks for coming. And, let's get educated and let's get involved and let's learn government by consent and let's take back this nation and bring back our republic because only the people can save America. Good night.